absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Where I loved her and left her, but I'll not forget her. I love my pretty Fräulein.
Sing in the mic.
Oh, yeah.
Fräulein, Fräulein, look up toward the heavens each night when the stars start to shine. By the same stars above you, I'll swear that I love you. I miss my pretty Fräulein.
What is it with the Texans and their pretty German Fräuleins? This love relationship seems to have started when the first German settlers came to Texas in the 1850s, and it is still going on. Welcome to episode 51 of Absolutely Intercultural. Today we are going to talk about perhaps the biggest step you can take interculturally. We talk about packing up and leaving your country for good. Either because you don't like the way things are in your own country, or perhaps because you expect better opportunities somewhere else. Often it is a combination of the two. In my first category, Absolutely Unlimited, I went to Friesenhaus, a German restaurant right in the German belt of Texas.
Friesenhaus is a typical German restaurant. We serve here Wiener Schnitzel. We also have Bavarian sausage and a lot of other good food.
I interviewed a family who left their house and jobs in the north of Germany in order to open a typically German restaurant in New Braunfels, Texas. Their philosophy of just do whatever your dreams are sounds almost like this century's echo to the American dream. The whole family seemed to appreciate that in the US you have to prove yourself, but then only the market decides whether you can run a restaurant or not. No administrator can keep you down. But what were the main reasons why they took this important decision to emigrate to the US a couple of years ago?
Two things. One thing is we want to leave Germany because of the better opportunities in our profession, about the better education for the kids, and we are a little bit scared about the way Europe is going with all the immigrants and socialistic style of politics. The other thing was we like to be always in the United States. We've made vacations here nearly every year or every year one, two or three times. And we think the opportunities for the job, for earning money, are a lot better than in Germany. And what you can do, how you can do it, and the way of the business is so different than in Germany that we feel here very comfortable.
Can you give an example of how opportunities come up here in Texas, opportunities that you wouldn't have had in Germany?
First of all, I think we couldn't do a restaurant in Germany because we had not the education for doing a restaurant. We sell tarts, German tarts, for example, and Kuchen. And for this, you have to have, for everything, a permit and a degree to do it in Germany. And here it is, if you can do something, just do it. And the market makes the decision if it's good enough or not. And here in America, you can feel the spirit, and almost for the same reasons like the early settlers came over, to have the most possible freedom. This spirit and these opportunities are still alive. And that's, I mean, if you're a little bit sensitive, you can just feel it and just do whatever your dreams are. You can make them reality here in America.
When you are in Germany, you always have to do and to push hard to get something done. When you are now here in the United States, very easy for us to explain this because it happened already so much to us. We started here a business we not are educated in at all. Mm-hmm. So we came over with a new language, new profession, new laws, everything was new. And it worked out very, very fine. During our time here now, we, instead of working for it, we got many requests if we would like to do a franchise, where we are now starting with for the next year. It's planned to franchise the Friesenhaus. I think in Germany, never anybody would ask us, oh, you have a unique restaurant, you want to make franchise, I can help you with this. We did already so many things, what's unbelievable doing in Germany, because it's only holding everything down and nobody's really thinking about how can I help somebody, how can this or that this guy do something else than he's just doing.
Do you only have this experience of networking and people helping you, or does your Germanness sometimes exclude you from things, from what people are doing, what people are suggesting?
No, it's not the way that our German background excludes us from anything. Just the opposite is the thing. It's unfortunate to come from Europe and especially from Germany. Everything what has to do with Germany has a very high value here, and this is of course very nice for us.
Do you think this is true for all over America, or is this a characteristic of this area, which is in the German belt and where there is a long tradition of Germanness?
No, I think it's all over United States, not only here in the German belt, but the Germans are very, very welcome here. And everybody is talking, every American is talking very, very nicely about Germany. So that makes me feel very proud, of course.
Especially when you speak about networking. Here everybody tells you, you need networking to do something. You have to go to every club what's possible. So when we started here, the first we did, we got members of the Chamber of Commerce and of the Downtown Association. That's very important for us because we are a business in downtown. The second, that was already before coming here, we were still living in Germany. When we came here, we were after 2 months, I think, we were members of Rotaries. And so you build up all this networking, and everybody is helping you getting networking. The people are coming. You want to be a member of this, of that, of so-and-so. And in Germany, nearly nobody really asks for. You have to know somebody who is in some networking organization and ask, oh, would it be possible that I can get in there? But here, they come from all sides asking.
People just do you favors, and you do favors to other. If I know something which would be good for another person, I tell it around, and so do the other people. So it's just, they simply do it, and they do each other favors, and that's how the way it runs. And it costs nothing, it's for free.
It is good to hear that the Texans have helped so much with the setting up of the restaurant. The newcomers' determination to network and get involved culturally with the community seems like a very important factor for intercultural integration too. While for these restaurant owners, the unlimited opportunities seem to have attracted them to pack up and make a new start in the US, my next interviewees told me that they had come over because of the army a long time ago, but would not consider moving back to Germany now that they are retired. They want to live in Texas forever.
I saw miles and miles of Texas, all the stars up in the sky. I saw miles and miles of Texas, gonna live there till I die.
In our category, absolutely claustrophobic, Edith explains that she left Berlin at the time of the Cold War, when there was still a wall around West Berlin, because she felt it was too eng, which means too narrow or claustrophobic. But eng can also mean too narrow-minded. I had noticed this couple because they were sitting at the nearest table in the German restaurant, and I was not quite sure whether they were speaking German. So I interrupted my interview with the owners and went over to them to find out whether they did actually speak German.
I speak German. Ich spreche noch Deutsch.
Oh, you speak very good German. So you are German, are you?
I was born in Germany in 1933. I'm 74 years old and have been in this country, United States of America, since 1962.
Right. How did you come here?
Well, I left Germany after World War II originally and in 1957 and went to Canada and served in the Canadian Commandos for 5 years. And in 1962, I got an unconditional release from their military and joined the American Army in August 1962 and spent 24 years in the armed services of this country.
So how did you come here? Did you come over together?
We married and After he served in Berlin for 3 years, we left Germany again and came here.
Why do you prefer to live in Texas?
Currently we live in Alabama, but we are here now in search for to buy a new home, a new house.
How come you're not going back to good old Germany then, Edith?
It is too eng, too crowded.
Too expensive.
Too expensive.
Right. So these are the things you appreciate here in America, that everything is a little wider?
We appreciate, first of all, the freedom of movement.
Now it's not so bad in Germany anymore. We grew up in Berlin with a wall around it, and I would not go back there.
Have you been back to Germany since?
Yes, we have been several times, but after my mother died in 2003, I haven't been back.
Any things you notice that are very different in America, even after years, you maybe notice things which are different from Germany?
Well, one thing is different. You have more freedom to move. You have more choices. And if I may, sind zu viele Sachen in Deutschland, die man nicht darf.
So there are too many things which we are not allowed to do in Germany.
Right.
Can you give examples, like treading on the grass?
Well, a simple thing. For instance, dog ownership. If you would tell an American that he would have to pay taxes to keep a dog, he would laugh in your face.
Unimaginable.
Yeah, it's unimaginable. The other thing is home ownership is much easier in this country. Cars are cheaper, food is cheaper, the climate suits us. When you get older, you freeze quicker, you shiver quicker, and that's why we decide to relocate back to this part of the United States.
Now, today you are in a very German-looking restaurant here. We can hear some German music in the background. Do you think of home when you go to places like this one?
No, not home, but we enjoy it. It's not home. I don't miss Germany. I miss sometimes. We live now in a rural area. We don't have public transportation. And if you're not able and getting older, you're not able to drive, you don't go anywhere.
And how about the food? Do you miss any German food? Or have you got used to American food?
I cook German. And we speak German at home, and the children speak German, and there's no problem.
The German culture is, when you grow up with this, it sticks with you. I still enjoy German music, German poetry, German literature, of course German food, and every opportunity you have to be amongst people of German culture, you definitely feel at home. But I feel like my wife does. I would go and visit Germany, certainly an attractive land, but I would never relocate back to Germany.
Just one last question before you dig into your schnitzel. Can I ask you, I often hear that Germans are very much appreciated in this part of the country, that people like Germans somehow. Which characteristics of Germans do they like? What do you think?
The Germans are very much liked because they are hardworking and clean. They really are punctually. Everybody saying that whoever were stationed in Germany coming back here, how clean the country is. And they enjoy because the Germans are hardworking.
Any other characteristics of the Germans that you've heard about?
Well, as my wife said, we are known to be people whose word and promise you can trust. Black is black and white is white, and everything in between is gray, and that becomes an issue of philosophy.
Okay, thank you very much for the interview.
Guten Appetit.
Guten Appetit, enjoy your lunch.
And again we heard that there seems to be more freedom in the US. From that perspective, I can understand that having to pay considerable taxes for keeping a small dog in your house in Germany seems like a weird idea. It is interesting to see how much these two expatriates stick to their German culture, their cuisine, the language, the events, even after so many years. The result, however, is that after more than 40 years in the US, Edith's German is still a lot better than her English. I went back to the owners of the Friesenhaus and asked them why everybody in Texas seems to like the German, Fräulein or not. I had already noticed that all around the German belt, businesses were playing with the stereotype and use brand names such as Schlitterbahn and Oma's Haus. In Friesenhaus, they do not even hesitate to use very difficult words on their menu. Take, for example, the Schleswig-Holstein Schnitzel. And their guests seem to love the challenge to produce the right sounds. So for our category, absolutely unpronounceable, I asked, what do the Texans really like about the Germans?
The Germans are very well known for being always in time, that's for sure. They are known for very hard-working people, and they are known as mainly being very smart and intelligent.
Good educated.
Yes. Good educated,
good educated,
yes.
The Germans
yeah.
are.
Now, is it sometimes a little difficult to have an exotic place like Friesenhaus, difficult to pronounce even in English, in a place where so many places have German names?
To say it so, when you go here through South Texas, here in New Braunfels, for example, New Braunfels, the people are able to say this. They are able to say Schlitterbahn, what's the most famous water park in the United States. They're able to say Schlotzkisteiner, what's a little bit more polish. So, and we found out, we started here, and all our waiters and waitresses, even the customers, they have problems with some items on our menu. So, for example, Schleswig-Holstein Schnitzel. That's already difficult for Germans sometimes. But the people working here, they are able now to say so. They need a little bit time for even Bienenstich or Holländisch Kirschtorte. That's words that's a little bit difficult. But we said, that's the German words, we want the German words, and the people will be able to learn this because we came here learning English. They come to the Friesenhaus learning German a little bit, and they like it. So we have a lot of customers coming in here since we are open. And when they are coming now, they say, oh, guten Tag, and use German phrases, German words. They are so proud when they can say the food they
Weihnachten.
Right, even yes. when they can order the food on the German way.
So you're also being a little educational. You're trying to show to Texans the whole variety of German cuisine, for example.
Yes, absolutely. And the Americans are very interested in. We have also a map here on the wall, a map from Germany, and very, very often the Americans stay before this map or in front of this map and explain to us where they have been, and they ask us where we are from, and they want to know just everything.
Okay. Now, you seem to be cooking the dishes for yourselves, so do you get homesick at all? And are there any things that you miss from Germany that you can't get, not even in your own restaurant?
These questions we hear a lot, and we always say, we are home here. So we can't get homesick because we are here in Texas home. Mm-hmm. All the family is here. We sold everything in Germany. And no, we are not really thinking very often to Germany, I must say. We are happy that now it's Christmas days and it's warm outside. We run around with short sleeve shirts and we are happy about this. Blue sky, sun, even at nighttime it's a little bit cooler. And when we want to go to Germany, then it will be just as tourists, but not going home.
While these people have left Germany to find a new home in Texas, there are, of course, others who decide to permanently move to Germany. I spoke to Jean Lennox, a university lecturer in the north of Germany, why she had chosen Germany. I was hoping she would say something that would make me proud as a German. I was in for a surprise.
No, I came to Germany because they wouldn't take me in France because I didn't speak very good French. My French was not very good. And I was allowed to come here because I spoke no German. I've never worked it out, but that's how I ended up here.
Are you saying we were only second best and
yes,
you wanted to go to France?
You were second best. I'm very sorry about this. It's been a long-term relationship, though. A love-hate relationship over all those years. I would say I more or less lived here since the 70s. Been back a couple of times, but not really for very long. I came with a church organization. It was called Help Your Brother, and it was founded, I don't know when, after the Second World War sometime, as a, I don't know if you know, Aktion Sühnezeichen.
Mm-hmm.
It was this kind of same kind of thing to prevent any wars between these two countries ever again.
And so what did you do, really, when you came over? What was the activity?
I came with a group of 10, I think there were 10 of us, and we worked in a children's home in near Cologne. It is now Cologne. And I worked, did a lot of cleaning at that time, played a lot of games, watched a lot of TV, went for walks with the children, and learnt German in that first half year as well.
And have you lived in Germany ever since?
Yes, I think I have, with the short exception of about six months. Most of that time in Cologne, one year in Munich, and half year in Heilbronn, near Heilbronn.
Right. So you probably have German nationality by now?
No, I don't. I've thought about it a few times, especially when I was not happy with what Mr. Blair was doing. Well, way back when I was not happy with what Mrs. Thatcher was doing. Then when I was not happy with what Mr. Blair was doing. But at Thatcher's time, it was too expensive. I remember it would have cost quite a lot of money. And now I'm not sure what it would cost, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem worth it somehow.
Right. Do you see yourself as a German or...?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Now, had you been to Germany before, or was that your first ever visit when you came over?
Certainly hadn't. Nobody in my family had been to Germany. I was more or less ostracized by my grandmother, who hated Germans and anything to do with Germany, too close to the Second World War. And, I had a very negative picture of Germany, really. It really was absolutely by chance that I arrived here. I'd been hitchhiking with someone and stumbled upon this organization, and that was the only reason I was here. Strangely enough, I came to Cologne. I looked for it on the map, couldn't find it, Cologne. Assumed it was some kind of little village, because, of course, it was Köln, which I didn't realize, and I was quite shocked when I arrived, and it was this very big city.
Now, many people who come to Germany say that there are so many regulations, and you need a certificate for everything, and a permit, and this and that. Was that a problem you faced over the years when you lived in Germany? Like, for example, was your education acknowledged over here?
No, it wasn't, actually. I had to repeat I had to repeat two O-levels. Mm-hmm. But that was because the English system is such that you can actually you can build on what you've got. That was quite an advantage for me. It was okay. I just repeated biology and logically German as a foreign language, and then I was allowed to go to university here.
Jean came over to Germany with a religious organization which had the very noble aim to bring the former enemies, the English and the Germans, closer together again after the war and help build bridges of friendship between the countries. In the category absolutely un-German, I asked Jean what the challenges were and whether she felt very different from the Germans she met at that time.
I found Germans very serious when I came here. Very, very... There was all this Ordnung. I found it extremely tidy. I came from North Manchester, which was not a very tidy place. Mm-hmm. It was all very clean. Everything was cleaned all the time. And I still find that strange. I'm still not very good at cleaning. I've tried, but I'm not.
Now, nowadays, in which situations do you feel particularly un-German? I mean, there must be situations where you still feel, oh my God, now I'm sticking out from the rest.
The older I get, the more un-German I feel. It's very strange because when I go back to Britain, I realise I'm not strange. And here, I seem very strange to myself. I laugh a lot. I have a lot of fun. I think I probably stand too close to people. I smile at people all the time when I shouldn't be smiling at them. And yeah, I think there are a lot of situations, just daily, these very day-to-day situations.
And this happens to you even nowadays, that you stand too close to people? And you suddenly realise because they are moving back?
I touch people. I know that we say that...
You shouldn't.
I know. And people say that the British are reserved, and they're not. We touch people far more often than Germans do. If we've met someone and we like them, we touch them pretty soon. It's not a big kind of touch, and we don't cuddle up or hug, but we might just touch their arm and tell a joke. And we do that a lot, and you don't do that here.
Yeah. So when you go back to England these days, which things do you find difficult to get used to? And if they're different for you, do you think that this is because they've changed over the years, or have you changed? Have you become a little more German, maybe?
I think I certainly have become German. I said I'm not German. I don't feel German. I think I said that at the beginning. I don't feel German, but of course I do have a lot of German qualities, very, of course only the good German qualities, of which there are many. I think that one of the German qualities I admire is reliability, that people are very reliable. I find friends very reliable. You don't make friends as quickly, but when you've made them, they are very good friends, I've found.
What are the stereotypes that you get confronted with when Germans speak about English people?
Oh, Mr. Bean, who I hate, along with most British people. 5 o'clock tea, which is a mystery to me. I have no idea what it is. We never had it. I have no idea what that is. Yeah, humour, the idea of British humour, this black humour. And of course, it is fantastic, the British sense of humour, but it's not the kind of things that people here watch. Like The Life of Brian, it's okay, but it's one of many, many, many things. And that, I get a bit tired of hearing these things all the time. I make a lot of music and I'm with a lot of international groups. I've just come back from Weimar, where I was with a group of Americans, British, Australians, from all over the place. It's just so nice to speak English. It's very nice to speak proper English. I'm missing it somehow, missing these roots. Having said that, I do have roots in Germany. Obviously, I have 2 children here. And I have a house and I have lots of friends and I do like it here. Otherwise, I wouldn't have stuck it out for so long.
So it would be difficult for you to leave as well?
It would be very difficult for me to leave, yes. It would be very difficult. There are some things in Germany which just are better.
I'm afraid we are coming to the end of the show today. I would like to draw your attention to a posting about emigration that we received from Matthew Den. The podcast world is really small. Matthew contacted me here in Remagen to tell us that his family emigrated from exactly this place where my university stands now in the 1850s, and that his uncle still lives 700 meters away from where I speak now, and that his cousin even attended one of my classes some time ago. Now, this looks like another story I should be following up in one of the future shows, because Matthew writes, "Let me share our German-American family story with you. In 1852, some of the Dens sailed from Remagen, Germany, to the United States, and some of our family stayed in Germany. I have a full genealogical history and the story of how the journey from Germany to America went. Eventually, the Dens that went to America settled in the Minnesota area. So this coincidence is too big to pass. So we'll find out more about this particular story of emigration and share the results with you, our listeners. But first, our next show will be coming to you from Denmark on the 7th of March. Time to come to the storybook ending, which we wish to all those who have taken this big step to emigrate somewhere else.
Walls across Texas, with you in my arms. Waltz across Texas with you. Like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charm. And I could waltz across Texas with you.
So we say goodbye from Texas with another song which my friend sang for us on New Year's Eve. Maybe you've wondered how I got the recordings of the music you've been hearing. These are my friends in Texas who get together with their friends ever so often, and when they do, they pick up an instrument and they start singing. Whenever I could, I tried to switch on my little recorder to get it. Please have a look at our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you can leave comments on today's show. And I will be back to you next month with more intercultural stories. Until then, stay tuned. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tverkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.